Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the OM Times Radio Network.
Angela Levesque. I'm coming to you live today from the beautiful foothills of the Rocky Mountains here in Boise, Idaho. I have a great show, especially I think for the new year, as we talk about intention with best-selling author Tony Burrows. And we're going to be exploring the art of intending, as well as talking about the subject of his book, What You Need to Know Now, The Li Ching Messages. So I'm really excited to be doing that. Like I said, we talked a few weeks ago about creating intentions versus New Year's resolutions. So I really could think of no better person to come on and have this conversation about intention with. A little update for you. Last week, we were supposed to have Don Miguel Ruiz on the program, and we had to reschedule, and he's going to be on February 24th. So if you're looking forward to that, no worries. He will be on in about a month or so. And coming up next week, we have psychic and remote viewer Nancy Dutertre. It's something I'm trying to put my little French accent in there. And we're going to be talking about alien communication, which, you know, every once in a while, I like to throw in a conversation about aliens because, hey, why not? I think there's nothing that we shouldn't be talking about right now, that this is a time of communication and just expansion and really challenging our thoughts, our ideas, our expectations about how we operate, how the world operates. And I think that aliens is a fantastic conversation to do that. So let me, if you need to get a hold of me at any time during the week, you can email me at angela@hestiahealth.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio. I'd love to hear from you, and check out my website if you'd like to know more about what I offer. So let me get to our guest. Tony Burrows is the author of the best-selling Get What You Want, The Art of Making and Manifesting Your Intentions, and the co-founders of the Intenders of the Highest Good, a community movement with intenders circles in countries all over the world. He is also the author of the popular daily email messages, The Bridge. So with that, I feel very honored and blessed to welcome Tony Burrows to the program. Hello, Tony. How are you doing?
Doing great, Angela. Good to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you here. We are talking about, as I said, I think the beginning of the new year, we talked, I did a show a couple weeks back about not creating New Year's resolutions, but instead of looking at if you know, people have the feeling of writing a new chapter as 2016 begins, and thinking about intentions over resolutions. And I was thinking, is that sort of the same line of thinking you would take as well?
Sure. Why not? It's, I tend to talk about intention more and haven't really talked so much about resolutions. And I've seen a lot of resolutions that didn't work. And I've also seen intentions that didn't work as well. So what we really want to be talking about is how to get proficient at using these ways of setting our course for or setting a direction for our day or for our life.
Well, we will definitely get into that conversation as we move throughout the hour. Your new book, What You Need to Know Now, The Li Ching Messages. I wanted you to start, for those listeners who aren't familiar with your previous books, who is Li Ching?
Li Ching is our guide in the Intenders. We started the Intenders some 22 years ago on the Big Island of Hawaii, Angela. And right away, one of the four co-founders, we found out that she had a gift, and the gift was that she was a very clear messenger or channel or whatever you like to call it. And her name was Tina Stober, is Tina Stober. She's still on the Big Island of Hawaii. And so one time, Mark was, her mate was saying that she had this gift. And I said, well, I've never seen anything like this. What goes on here? And she says, well, I say a prayer and out comes this, and I go into a quiet state, and out comes this being, and his name is Li Qing. And Li Qing was a Taoist immortal, and he has had many lifetimes, but he's not on the planet right now. And so I started asking Li Qing every question I could possibly think of. What's going on with the economy, and what's going on with the government, and what's going on with my gardens, and what's going on with my love life, and all these questions I asked him. And as it turned out, he answered all of them accurately and with such love and caring in his voice that we never wanted these sessions together to end. And as it turned out, we started having a 30-minute spiritual guidance session at the end of each of our intention circles, or as we call them, intender circles. And people started thronging to the groups. And Li Qing has been our guide all along. And over the years, I kept track of all the sayings and all of the gems that he shared with us in our sessions and with me privately. And there turned out to be hundreds of them. And I put them into a book, What You Need to Know Now, The Li Qing Messages, here published by Start Publishing.
So this idea of what you need to know now, does Li Qing believe that this is a special time in humanity's history, or would he say that every time is kind of a special time?
Oh, I think he'd say every time is a special time, and we have the possibilities of reaching our highest potential at any given moment. Oftentimes we think that the good times are more conducive to us reaching our highest calling. But in actuality, some of the times when we have adversity and the challenges makes it, even though we don't like it per se, makes it so that we are strengthened in those times. So I think he'd say any time is the time would be now. And in this particular book, What You Need to Know Now, it's an oracle, Angela. It's open to any page, and it gives you the message you need to know in the moment.
Yes, I was.
I
was trying to do that. I had the electronic copy of that, and so I was trying to, you know, do the finger scroll so I could just kind of see if I could flip to a page with my finger. It didn't work quite as well, but I found a method that I could do it. And yes, I love the little pieces of wisdom, and it's something that you could even use on a daily basis, just sitting, you know, I'm going to go into meditation and read that quote or contemplation and be able to just kind of let it hang out in your consciousness. And I like that idea because we kind of live in a bite-sized world now too, where people mm-hmm. can only take in so much because there is so many other things going on, and being able to have that as a focus of your contemplation, which I really enjoyed.
Right. I agree. I feel like in some ways our attention span is shortened. And so many people just want the, as you say, the bite-sized bits. So that's why I wrote this book, because the wording and in the phrases and in the sayings throughout the book are so concise and so loving that a person just can't help but be inspired by them.
Absolutely. So one of the quotes or little pieces was, the real revolution is in consciousness. And I was wondering if you could expand on that a little bit for us.
Sure. Because we tend to think that that things are, we tend to be focused outside of ourselves in this particular world. We were conditioned to be in this world, and we tended to think that that whatever's going on outside of us, external to us, is where we can make a difference and how we can have a big changes go on in our life. But what I found is that the battlefield, so to speak, is in my own mind, in my own heart and mind, and that that's the place inside of me is where I want to be focusing my attention, because otherwise I'm playing the victim game, I'm playing the blame game, and looking outside and saying, oh, that's doing that to me, or this is happening to me because that person or that institution or nation or whatever is affecting my life. But in truth, what we're learning as we go along, as we explore these ideas in consciousness, is that we can remain happy inside, regardless of what is going on outside of us. And I think that's an important point for people to begin to explore, because you meet so many people that are into the victim mindset, and that they just they tend to not be looking in the right direction. And the right direction is inside, because that's where we can make the changes. Our happiness, our joy, our soul, our spirit is all inside of us. And we need look no farther than that to really affect changes in our own lives.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. And we talk about that a lot here in this program, that sort of our society is always asking us to look here. We know how you need to lose weight. We're really good at giving us the what and how to do things. And so we're constantly, I think we lose a level of self-trust that, you know, we do have answers within ourselves, but, you know, our society at large is saying, hey, no, look at me. I'm an expert. I'm this is what you need to do. And kind of this one size fits all for everyone. And I think it's good to take that information, but then ultimately you need to run that through your own body and your own mind. And how does that feel for you? Does it resonate? Does it work with your life? Does it connect with you? And I think that's one of the things I try to impress on people. I talk to experts all the time on the show. And so some of them, their wisdom is going to resonate, and some of it's going to work for you, and some of it's not. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that you don't know how to do things or you're not right or whatever, but it's being able to have that introspection and connection to the body and mind and spirit and figure out what's right. So we are up on a break. When we get back, I want to talk about some of the things like finances, because I think we can talk about this stuff and people get it. And then when it comes to real life, like, oh no, I have to pay my bills.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go. Yeah!
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Best-selling author Tony Burrows, and we are talking about intention and highest good and the subject of his book, What You Need to Know Now, The Li Ching Messages. So, this is something that I think is a sticking point for a lot of people. They can talk about intention and they can talk about a lot of spiritual concepts, but when it gets down to the day-to-day finances of things, that I think that people get, they step away from some of these things that they understand maybe intellectually or even, you know, that govern the rest of their spiritual life. So from an intention perspective, how do people really manifest abundance and live with a sense of prosperity in their life?
Oh, I'll bet everybody's listening to that answer, what's going to come here, because we've been brought up in scarcity. We've been brought up with scarcity mindset, and it's rampant. It's almost like a sickness that runs through the culture. And but I'm going to tell you just a short story, Angela, and those of you out there listening, that happened to me. I've had two teachers in my life, and the second one, as we talked about, was Li Qing, and a fabulously loving teacher. And the first one, his name was BJ, and BJ and I were in a mystery school for 18 years back in the hills of the Big Island of Hawaii. And so I was just very fortunate to be with this man. And while we were doing all the things you do to set up a farm, which is what I was doing, self-sustaining farming there. I had an avocado farm. He was passing along a body of knowledge to me that we simply called the information. And it seemed like some facet or another of the information lent itself to getting out of whatever jam or stuff or challenges I had going on at the time. And of course, little did I know that of course, he was a master, and he orchestrated it so I got into the jam I was in and had to use the information he was teaching me to get out of it. So one day, BJ and I were having our morning coffee, and I was talking about my money issues and the challenges I was having with the monthly bills, because I didn't realize that running the farm was going to take so much. I went to Kona to retire and get closer to nature, and I did, but I still had those money issues. And he told me, Tony, he said, there's two ways that you can be happy in this world with the money situation the way it is. He says, you can go out and go about the business of doing whatever it takes to make $1 million or whatever, 2 million or nowadays, because with inflation. But and he said, that's a bona fide way. Then you can go out and create your own environment to make the money and create the environment that you want to surround yourself with. And he said that particular avenue, it'll take me a few years to do that, perhaps, generally speaking. But then I'll have my freedom after that. And then he said the second way was, and I know some of you are going to be a little squeamish out there when I talk about this, but the second way is to be deliberately poor, which in other words, realize that in the moment, right there in that moment, you can have your happiness and you can have your freedom, but you have to trust that everything you need will come to you in the moment you need it. And I chose that second option. He said that anything in between those two options is the middle road, and the middle road tends to be very encumbering, slave-like. And we see that in our middle class today. We see like we're just being led around like a cow with a ring in the nose and by our money. And everybody seems to have seems to relate or connect their happiness with how much money they've got in the bank account or wallet at any given time. And he always told me that if you do that, then you're not free. And he said the only way to be free is to either make $1 million or be deliberately poor. So I chose the second route and deliberately poor. And in doing so, Angela, I found that I had to increase my level of trust. In other words, we're all being asked to increase our level of trust nowadays, to trust more than we've ever had to trust before. And what is it we're trusting in? We're trusting that our thoughts do create our world. Our thoughts create our future. Most people don't know that. They could have taught us that in first grade, along with Run Spot Run and See Dick and Jane. But of course, they didn't do that. And here we are nowadays integrating that piece of information in our lives. And the second thing to trust was that if we make an intention, that it will, in fact, manifest for us. And so as I chose the deliberate poor route, I really was setting the stage for myself to have to integrate my own teachings that I eventually wrote 10 books around into my own life, because, of course, the books wouldn't be worth a darn if I didn't integrate them into my own life and teach others how to do that by the way I've done it. And so what I've found over the years is that works, actually, and that anything in between, when I start to worry too much about the money or be concerned about, oh, there's an ability that I didn't expect, I go back to trusting that whatever I need in the moment will be there. Always there for me. And you know what? It really always has. It has. If it wasn't there, I found that I didn't really need it. If it wasn't for my highest good, I didn't really need it. And of course, we always put that highest good clause in our intentions. I'm shifting gears here a little bit, but when we make an intention in our intender circles, we say that in order for it to manifest, it must serve the highest and best good of the universe, myself, and everyone concerned. And that's sort of like an insurance policy. It gives us a way to know that we're lining up with the highest good every time we make an intention, because if it's not for our highest good, it won't manifest. So I kept saying my intentions in the morning, lining them up with the highest good, and everything I needed came to me. And I can tell you story after story of manifesting things that, you know, you need $5,000 here to reprint my intender's handbook, for instance, and not having the slightest idea where it's going to come from, and then go into an intender circle in Tucson and have a fellow I never met across the room say, "Hey, Tony, I'll give you $5,000 for that." Attention. So that kind of stuff was happening regularly in my life, so much so that I started relying upon it and writing books about it. And so indeed, money is no different than any other thing that we want to manifest. We've just put it in a category by itself because it's so much in the forefront of our culture. But really, we can just use the same principles. Get up every morning, set a direction for your day by saying your intentions or your prayers or your affirmations, or they all work. And if it's money you're needing, intend for it, and then be open to receive from both expected and unexpected sources, and then watch what happens.
So in your example of needing the $5,000, is that when we are setting up our intentions, is it best to be as specific as possible? Because that's a very that request was very specific. And when you're doing that, and especially around the finances, is it good to get that specific?
Sure, it is. Now, of course, the universe knows exactly what you need. And so the highest good clause takes care of that. But I have found in my own experience that if I need $5,000, that's what I ask for, and not $4,000 or $6,000. There was a time, I remember one time when I intended a pair of new shoes and running shoes, and right away a friend said, "Oh, I've got a pair you can have. They're brand new." And I drove across town, went over and got them, but I forgot to put the size in, and they were a size 8 and I wore a 10, and they didn't do me any good. So next time I'm going to intend and get specific with it, like you say, and intend that I have the right size. So yes, being more specific with it is because there's no rule. See, there's no rules on what you can intend. You can intend size 10 shoes or size 8 shoes or $5,000 or $10,000, whatever it is you need. Ask for it.
Do we need to look at our ideas of what is enough? For example, you know, What if I intend that I need 3 flat screen TVs? And really, do I need 3 flat screen TVs? Does that weigh into the equation?
Well, the highest good clause will take care of that, because again, I don't make an intention without putting that clause in there. And if it's the highest good, I need those 3 TVs.
You know what? Our connection has just kind of deteriorated. So what I'm going to do is go ahead is hang up with you, and I'm going to just add you right back into the conversation in like 10 seconds. Does that sound good?
Should I hang up?
Well, I will hang up with you, and then I will just add you back to our station. This is deliberately poor. You know what? I didn't see that coming. Tony, are you already back on? Yes, we are actually having a little bit of a bad connection with you, which this doesn't normally happen. Let me just do this one more time. And let me go ahead and add Tony back to the conversation. And hopefully this time we will have a better connection. Yes, deliberately poor. I got to say, that was not what I was expecting. Tony, are you back on?
I am.
All right. You sound better. It was getting all garbled. And I thought, well, we better just that such is the nature of Skype and live communication. But
we're talking about the highest good, and that and you were asking about what happens if I need 3 flat screen TVs, and if it's the highest good that you need 2 or 4, that's what's going to come.
Well, I like that idea that that clause kind of just gives you enough and doesn't, because I think that was kind of my issue with The Secret, is these people were just wishing all this stuff, but there wasn't really the connection with it. So we are up on a break, and when we get back, we will talk more here with Tony Burrows on Entanglement Radio. We'll be right back.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
This is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Right, we're back, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the OM Times Radio Network. If you're just joining us today, we have best-selling author Tony Burrows on, and we are talking about the art of intending and the highest good. And before the break, we were talking about the highest good clause, which I just I use that when I do healing work with people. I always intend highest good, and I like that like I was saying before the break, that if we just want three TVs or the Maserati or whatever, that we will only be connecting with what is good for all the universal good. And so I really enjoy that. What I wanted to ask you is, you said that, and this was this wasn't actually on my list of questions, but you said that Li Qing said that you had asked him questions about politics. And I think we are in an election year here in the United States. What kind of messages did he have around our political environment at this time?
Well, primarily to keep your own center regardless of what's going on. In other words, we can hand our freedom over to other people and rely upon them to tell us how to live and what to do and how to think and what to pay and so forth and how to be like everybody else. Or we can realize that our own happiness and balance is inside of us, and not to let the politicians and so forth have an effect upon that, and which they will gladly do if we allow them to do so. So I keep that current politics at a certain distance. I keep watching them out of the corner of my eye, but there's a certain, I hate to use this word, but farce. There's a certain farce going on, because they're missing so much of, they're not discussing the things that really need to be brought out to the American people. I mean, there's so much that they don't talk about. They're lost in the, nowadays especially, in the issues of, well, for instance, gun control and immigration and on and on, and Obamacare, et cetera. And at the same time, if we allow that to take us off our center, then they got us, so to speak. And to me, my freedom is so important to me. And that if I give it over to them by believing in them and trusting in them, I tend to lose that freedom. And I only have to look out my window and see, and I, again, I don't want to belabor on this, and see the chemtrails and wonder why, you know, they're not talking about that. And these chemtrails started back in 1991 or so, and still nobody even talks about it. We have a State of the Union message. Nobody will discuss these things. So it looks like that in many ways, when we go along with what the politicians are saying, we are feeding the hand that's biting us. Hmm. Making sense?
Yeah, absolutely. You're definitely preaching to the choir on that one. I wonder what Li Qing would have to say about Donald Trump. We don't have to answer that question, but I just you say,
I think
farce.
He's a little bit mean. He's mean.
He is. And, you know, that is a good segue. And you have a part of your book that has a lot of quotes or pieces of insight around vision. And so as we talk about vision, and, you know, some of the politicians, at least they say that they have a vision for our country. I wonder, and you said, you know, that people really need to kind of look within themselves and figure out, don't let other people speak for them. So I want to talk for a moment about collective vision versus personal vision. Is it important to create change from an intention perspective for us to have some sort of consensus on a collective vision, or is it enough for each of us to connect with our own individual vision?
Well, we do both, Angela. The collective vision works. In other words, it's the more the merrier kind of thing. And the more people you can get to align with your vision of your ideal world in any way, whatever that is, then the quicker and easier it's going to manifest. And that's how we got all of the beliefs and values and ways of thinking that we have in our world today. We all agree upon them, because agreement breeds reality. Agreement makes things stronger. Whereas if we withhold our agreement from people and places and things that aren't serving us, then we dilute those beliefs and values and so forth. So when it comes to politics, I don't want to keep reinforcing a system that is not serving me, because then I'm complicit in my own victimization, my own oppression. And that's what's going on in our world. And we keep falling for the same old stuff that where we are not where we're supporting a system that's actually victimizing us. In other words, the system isn't working anymore nowadays. Now, how do we deal with that? In my mind, what I did was I started a website. I had a dream one night, and it said start a website called the Vision Alignment Project, and write your visions of your ideal world on any subject you like. I ended up writing of them, and just a couple paragraphs each because of the bite factor, like we talked about, And in the dream, I was shown to put a big green "Yes, I align with this" button on this website. By the way, you can go to this website out there. It's visionalignmentproject.com, and you'll start receiving these visions. And the visions are on every subject you can think about, everything from the better treatment of the dolphins to bringing conscience or into the business arena, to bringing the highest good into our lives. And so. What happened was that when I started this Vision Alignment Project, it took off. And now we've had over 2 million alignments with these visions. And that's how you make a change on the collective level, is you share your visions for your ideal world, and you get other people to align with them. Because in the alignment of that vision, then they are it affects them personally, because every time people hit that big green "Yes, I align with this vision," they are actively and consciously contributing to the creation of it. In other words, it's a way for people to know that they are making a difference personally. So you do it both ways. You work on it individually, personally, for yourself, and of course, by envisioning that which you want to desire for yourself, and that is a key to manifesting, right there. To picture the end result from the beginning, and not get lost as the worldly leaders would have us in the details along the way, but picture the end result from the very beginning. And if I had any word for anybody out there as to how to deal with their envisioning for their future, because those envisions are thoughts, and those thoughts are creative. They'll create their future. I would tell people to envision only positive outcomes. And of course, the leaders of the world today are not doing that. They're, you know, it's we're taking the lesser of two evils on just issue after issue after issue. And it's time for us to begin to really ask ourselves, is this serving me? Am I going to be still remain complicit in my own oppression and go along with those guys and believe in them and really believe that they're trying to help me, or to pull the reins in within myself and explore my own spiritual advancement within myself? And if I don't do that, then I stay remaining in the under the thumbs of those leaders and politicians and so forth. We have to begin to explore our inner happiness and to find ways for us to find what is the best way for us to really be uplifted. And if people think that political scene is uplifting, I beg to differ.
Oh man, I would disagree with them as well. And that's something I think from an individual perspective, that the next thing I kind of wanted to talk about is, so I facilitate some mind-body groups, and I find that often people really want to go back and, you know, rehash their stories and create an explanation as to why things are the way they are now, and, you know, really go back. And I wonder, from an intention perspective, is that the best? Do we want to keep binding ourselves to that personal history? Because you're talking about politicians who, you know, just keep us on the same, you know, hanging out in the muck over and over and over again. And so I wonder, from an individual perspective, does it serve us to continually bind us to our old stories and our old history?
For me, it doesn't. We've had situations in our intender circles where people would come in with their dramas and so forth. And in the early days, we said that that we share our dreams instead of our dramas. But that turned out not to be always true. We found out through experience over the years that if you allow a person to go into dramas a little bit, not enough to wallow in it and go down into the muck, like you say, but just enough to get the gist of whatever your drama is, then ask them all the questions, Angela. And the question is, well, what's your intention around all of that? And what we found is that they'd make an intention, we'd help them make an intention around whatever it is that they were had the drama going on with, and they'd come back to the circle a week or two later, and guess what? No more drama, because the intention they made it manifested for them.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it really, do you think of intention from an energetic perspective? So, you know, I'm trained in many different modalities and energy work. So as we're talking about intention, and I'm thinking there's such a shift in energy, do you personally look at intention from that energetic lens?
I do. I don't get into the how of it too much, because one thing about making intentions and manifesting things is we really don't know the how. We can put the intention out there, but when it comes to how's this going to happen, or what's it going to look like, or and so forth, well, I sort of leave that up to the universe. In terms of an energy, when we make intention, it affects everything. It affects our cellular structure. It affects our DNA. It affects our future. It affects everything going on within our body. And so some people are more attuned to these subtle energies than others. But I know that when I make an intention, I can feel a difference. And you always feel a difference because you're
yes. You can hear we are up on a break. So when we get back, I want to ask you what Li Qing believes, where we can go as humans. So what is our true potential, as well as kind of get into the nuts and bolts of creating our intentions. So we'll do that more here with bestselling author Tony Burrows when we return on Entanglement Radio. We'll be right back.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on Om Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on Om Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go. Yeah!
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle. The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
And we are back here in the last segment of Entanglement Radio with Tony Burrows. This segment is brought to you by Hestia Health, creating calm minds, open hearts, inspired lives. You can find out more about the services at Hestia Health at hestiahealth.com. And you can also find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio. So, Tony, you have a chapter in your book of insights called Lifting Off, and this show is all about potential and possibility. And I was just wondering, from Li Qing's perspective, where does he believe that we can go as humans? Like, what is ultimately our true potential?
Well, Angela, when you asked me that before the break, I said, well, I'm just going to go open up my book, What You Need to Know Now, the Li Qing messages, and see what it tells me. And I happen to open to page 355 here, and it says, when you're intending for the highest good, you can turn any area into an area of light, love, beauty, and beauty now. And so Li Qing would tell you that peace is possible, first of all, and that we can have the world of our choosing. We can have a world that is in support of us 24/7, 365. I have memories way back in my, I don't know, DNA or in my soul, that of places and times and experiences when we all got along and everybody loved each other and cared for each other and honestly wanted to help one another and was concerned about one another. And nowadays we've bought into a world where, well, the answer to peace is war. And how, that's 1984 stuff. Orwell would be rolling over in his grave. So it's time for us to begin to really wake up and realize that the solutions that our leaders and that are being presented to us really aren't going to give us the results we're looking for. And the results we're looking for is a true peace, a true freedom for every human being who walks this planet, and true love in the hearts and minds of every one of our fellow travelers. And it is possible, and it is coming. It's just that it's going to, and we don't know when. It could happen tomorrow. It could.
I love that idea. In your intender circle, do you, because there are many now across the country, maybe even some in around the world. I'm not sure you can talk a little bit more about that, but do they dedicate some time to holding that vision of peace on earth?
Absolutely. I would guess that there's a thousand intender circles, and we don't know about all of them, but we know about most of them. And we started out saying our intentions in our circle, and then we took another step. We said, well, we're going to say gratitudes, Angela. And so we say our gratitudes for what that have manifested for, things are grateful, because gratitude's a key to upliftment. It's a key to lifting off. And then we say our intentions, and then we added a third thing about a year and a half or two ago, and it's where we share our vision of our ideal world. In other words, it goes something like, I see a world where we are all living happily and healthfully, fully and freely, and that every child born on this planet, from the minute they're born till the minute they leave, they know that they are loved and honored and cared for and nurtured by every other being who lives on this planet. And so that's just an example, but everyone who goes around the circle and says intentions and their gratitude also nowadays say a vision for their ideal world and know that sharing of that they are actively, consciously contributing to action of it, they're making a difference.
I love that. I wanted to, on your website, which I'll just say now, as soon as highestlighthouse.com, you talk about the intention process. And I was hoping that you could share that with us today.
Well, yeah, we realized that that there's a couple of things we need to do if we're going to become empowered. And the first is to get proficient at manifesting, not just dabble in it and fiddle around with it, but get good at getting that which we desire to come to us via the law of attraction or the intention process as easily and effortlessly as possible. So getting proficient was important to us. And then creating community, because how are we ever going to achieve or create the peace and the freedom and all the good things that we long for in this world if we do not begin to come together. So creating community is all important to us. And so in our intenders principles or teachings or guidelines or whatever you want to call it, we just have this thing called the intention process. And we say that in order to get proficient at manifesting, the first thing you do is get up every morning and start your day out by saying your intentions or your prayers or your affirmations. Again, they all work. We found that those who get up in the morning, Angela, and do that, that their day goes entirely different than the people who do not do that. They get the things they want. They're much happier. Life goes smoother for them. Whereas the people who get up in the morning and have a cup of Starbucks and hit the ground running, well, whatever, whenever, anything goes. So setting a direction for our day is the key to the first key to the intention process. The second key is to get together with a group of like-minded and lighthearted people once every week or two and share your intentions and gratitudes and visions in a circle and not in a podium arrangement or where there's somebody up on the podium and all the energy to themselves, but sitting in a circle, because the ancients and the ancestors all knew that when you sit in a circle, everybody has equal access to everyone else. There's nobody up above anybody else. In a circle, there's a certain energy, a certain frequency that you set. And so we recommend highly that people sit in circles. And the third aspect of the intention process we've already talked about, which is to tag that highest good clause onto everything, to put it and say, in order for my intentions to manifest or our intentions to manifest, that they must serve the highest and best good of the universe, ourselves, and everyone. And we say, so be it, and so it is, and it is done. And we let it go. Because that's the last thing you do when you want to manifest something. You have to let it go.
Letting it go. We just have a couple more minutes before we start wrapping things up. There was one more little insight in the book that just really struck a chord with me. And it says, people want to go back to the old ways where it's comfortable, but we can't do this anymore. What exactly does that mean?
Oh, my. Oh, my. Yes. I call it our CCZ, our continuous comfort zone. And we tend to want to just fall back where everything's easy, and then we get complacent, and we just let other people tell us how to run our lives or how to run the world. And really, at this point in our evolution, it's a very critical time, and people are waking up to that fact more and more, and the way to handle all of that is to step out of that CCZ, out of that continuous comfort zone, and take a risk, take a chance, try something new, allow somebody to push your buttons a bit and embrace those buttons, because how are you going to get to oneness if you don't? And so our continuous comfort zone, it's fine for a while, but after a while, you find that you can't move forward if you stay there.
I love that. Well, I want to give you the opportunity to share where people can find your books, your websites, learn more about intending circles, anything you'd like to leave my listeners with at this time.
Sure. I would tell your listeners that www.intenders.com, highestlighthouse.com, and visionalignmentproject.com. All three of those are avenues to get into our intenders teachings. There are two beautiful free programs, one called The Bridge, the other called The Vision Alignment Project, all meant to empower you. And again, these are free and available to everybody. Other than that, the books are all available. There's 10 or so books on the websites. And I would go back before we sign off to just tell everyone out what we said a few minutes ago, that if you're wondering how to take this information, integrate it into your life, the best thing you can do is take these four words to heart. Write them down now if you want. Envision only positive outcomes. If you do that, everything will get better in your life.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program. I actually wrote that down as you said that, and it makes so much sense, because if you just focus on, what could happen and all of these negatives and worrying, and I like the idea, envision only positive outcomes. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the program today. It was such a delight talking to you.
A pleasure, Angela. Anytime.
All right. Well, again, if you want to find out more, you can go to highestlighthouse.com. And yes, I just really enjoyed having Tony on the program today. And a little bit of an update. Last week we were supposed to have Don Miguel Ruiz on the program, and due to circumstances out of our control, we had to reschedule for that. So he's going to be on February 24th. Next week, we're going to be having Nancy Dutetra on the program, and she is a psychic and a remote viewer, and she wrote a book all about animal alien communication. And we have this idea, at least 50% of the United States thinks that we have been visited, or that there are alien life forms out there. But how are we going to talk to them? And what do they have to say to us? And who is going to be our ambassadors to engage in these conversations should they come here? I think it'll be a fun and light conversation. And then we're going to be following up the month with Suzanne Michelle. Really, we're going to be talking about navigating our awakening and all of this wonderful stuff surrounding 2016 and really stepping into our full potential and the possibilities of what it means to be human. So she is going to be a regular guest on the program. And if you want to know more about me, you can find out more at HestiaHealth.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entangment Radio. And if you're interested in a reading, or I have some upcoming classes, you can always go to HestiaHealth.com and find out more. Well, I am here live every Wednesday right here on the Om Times Radio Network at 12 p.m. Eastern. And this is Angela Levesque wishing you love and light. I'll see you next week.